And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Attention, people of Earth. Do not resist us. All who oppose us shall be annihilated. We command the most powerful army of monsters in the universe. They are sure to defeat your Earth monsters. All those who are hearing this are now under the control of the Earth Destruction Directive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Earth Destruction Directive. I am your host, as always, Mr. Luke Giaconetti. I'd like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to the show today. Hope everyone enjoyed our previous episode and had to dig back into the archives and figure out what the last episode was, because it's been a hot minute since we had one. But our last episode was our Kaiju and Cowboys one-shot comics. I hope everybody enjoyed that episode. And again, thank you all for coming back and joining us today, where we're going to be taking a look at the very unique short film, Howl from Beyond the Fog. But before we get into that, just a couple of things real quick. Of course, as I said, we did have an unscheduled hiatus here on the show. I'm not going to get into it. A lot of things just kind of came all to a head. One thing led to another, and here we are. So we're going to do our best to get back on track. Of course, how do you know a podcaster is lying is when they say they're going to do their best to get back on schedule. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, this is the longest hiatus I've had on Earth Destruction Directive in quite a while. So I apologize for that. I thank everybody for sticking around. I've tried to keep some stuff on YouTube as we're going, and I'll continue to keep some more stuff on YouTube as well as the podcast going forward. So thank you, everyone, for your understanding with that. Do have a little bit of news to cover. So we do have upcoming a new free comic book day Godzilla comic from IDW. IDW has announced that the comic Godzilla the New Heroes will be a part of the free comic book day 2025 offerings. Free comic book day for 2025 is May 3rd here in the United States, the first Saturday in May. The comic features a 10-page original story, which serves as a prologue to the upcoming new Godzilla comic universe, which appears from this press release to be a number of comics rather than a single series. Now, from IDW's official press information, like I said, the first look at IDW's new Godzilla universe. Each of these books is a fresh exploration on what it means to be a Godzilla comic, from a group of mercenaries that fly through space in Mechagodzilla to a strange wasteland inhabited by a half kaiju, half human freak, to a bold superhero take on G-Force. Now, per IDW's Godzilla editor Jake Williams, the Free Comic Day issue will, quote, introduce readers to new characters, premiere a new kaiju, and serve as the launching point for our new Godzilla continuity, end quote. Now, this is the first new IDW continuity since the close of Rulers of Earth, which ended back in 2015. I think that series ran for about 3 years. I'm mostly out of comics these days, but I do have to say one of my regular pickups every month is anything Godzilla-related put out by IDW. So it seems that just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Now, we'll have more on this comic and the subsequent universe as we get closer to Free Comic Book Day. And, of course, we'll cover the comic when we get to Free Comic Book Day. So that's all the news I've got right now. If you've got any news that you think suits us here on Earth Destruction Directive, why don't you go ahead and send it in, earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com. And if you send something in, I'll be sure to give you a shout-out here on the show. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get right into Howl from Beyond the Fog right here on Earth Destruction Directive.
Can you hear me now, Jimmy? Excellente! I've been waiting a long time for this. What was that? Yes, Jimmy, I'll mention you. As you always remind me, I'm contractually obligated to do so. We good? Alrighty then, let's get this promo started. Hello, kaiju lovers! I'm Nathan Marchand, a professional writer and raging nerd. You might remember me from the Kaiju Vision radio podcast. Well, during my sabbatical to the Monsterland Resort to catch some rays and drink a few blue Hawaiians, I was hired as the curator of the Monster Island Film Vault. So I figured I might as well use the opportunity to make a podcast while I'm at it. I'll critically and academically analyze films from the kaiju and tokusatsu genres, in keeping with my philosophy of film appreciation, and have fun along the way. Each episode will feature members of my rotating roster of guest hosts, chosen from Monster Island's tourists, including John LeMay, Daniel DeManna, Ben Avery, and Nick Hayden. We'll walk through kaiju film history, starting with the granddaddy of all kaiju himself, King Kong! Yes, we'll be chronologically examining the eighth wonder of the world's filmography, culminating with his epic rematch against the King of the Monsters in 2020's Godzilla vs. Kong. Episodes will drop the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. The first episode each month will be a full-length film discussion with the tourists, where I share these amazing films with both newcomers to the genre and veteran fans. The second will be a mini-sode on a variety of topics, starting with audio essays on classic Toho tokusatsu films. So join me and my intrepid producer, Jimmy from NASA, who miraculously survived the infamous war in space, as we embark on a new giant monster film journey starting September 2019. Check out our website, MonsterIslandFilmVault.com, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcatchers. The Monster Island Film Vault, a podcast seeking entertainment and enlightenment. Tokusatsu. How was that, Jimmy? What do you mean, it stinks?
All right, we are back here on Earth Destruction Directive. Howl from Beyond the Fog, known in Japanese as Sigiri no Kuni, literally Land of Fog, premiered at the Atami Kaiju Film Festival on November 24th, 2019. The show would make its way over to the U.S. via SRS Cinema in 2020, before also being released digitally on various platforms. Our writer, producer, and director is Daisuke Sato. Now, Sato was best known before this film as a modeler, having served as an assistant modeler or lead modeler on films as varied as GMK, Godzilla Final Wars, and Gamera the Brave. Sato funded the production of Howl from Beyond the Fog through Kickstarter, a tactic he has repeated for his later films, Hoshi 35, and Brush of the Gods. Sato also designed and built the puppets used for the human characters in the film, as well as doing the design work for our monster. And that leads us to the other name I want to mention, Kaizo Murase, a legendary monster creator who worked in the genre starting in 1958 as an assistant modeler before moving to lead modeler and working all the way through 1992. Murase worked on films as varied as Varan, The H-Man, The Three Treasures, Mothra, Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, Dogara, Giant Monster Gamera, Yongari, The Mighty Peking Man, whom he also played, Terror of Mechagodzilla, Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, and Godzilla vs. Mothra from 1992. Murase created Nebula for the film and was sought out by Sato in order to use traditional old-school techniques to help bring the monster to life. Now, our synopsis for the film comes from Wikizilla and goes a little something like this. Nebula, a giant reptilian monster, emerges from a hillside and kills two travelers on a bridge. Years later, in 1909, a boy named Eiji returns to his hometown in Kyushu. Raised by relatives, he knows a little about his mother Inami, or his recently deceased twin brother. He is startled to find a blind cousin, Takiri, also living with his mother. She instructs him not to tell his mother they've met, as she is supposed to be dead. That night, Eiji spots Takiri walking to the lake and follows her. Humming softly, she wakes up Nebula, who now resides in the nearby lake. Terrified, Eiji flees. The next day, Eiji oversees developers trying to convince his mother to sell the last of her land to facilitate the construction of a dam. Inami refuses, as her family has worshipped there for generations. The villagers note dismissively that Eiji is the last male in her family. As Inami and Eiji eat breakfast, she reluctantly explains that Takiri is her sister's daughter, left with her after the sister committed suicide. Believing that Takiri has gone insane, Inami has done her best to hide her from the town. Eiji visits Takiri again, who offers to take him to see Nebula at dark. Rumors of the creature have spread into the village, and four of the developers conspire to flush him out. Takiri holds her hands over Edgy's eyes as he reaches out to touch Nebula's face. As she removes her hands, Nebula disappears into the fog. The next day, the developers drag the two young people outside and kick Takiri into the lake. As she falls, she remembers her mother, who blinded her before taking her own life. Nebula comes to her rescue and lets Edgy take her from his jaws. The developers fire on the monster, but to no effect, and he chases them into town. As he lunges at one, Nebula knocks over paper lanterns, starting a fire. Edgy and Takiri find his mother's house destroyed. Dying in the ruins, Inami apologizes to Takiri for shutting her away and tells her to leave with Edgy. They resolve to try to stop Nebula's rampage. The developers use fireworks to lure the monster to a bridge where they are waiting with a hand cannon. The blast topples Nebula, but he recovers after Takiri goes to him and dodges the next two shots. Exhaling fog, he knocks three of the men off the bridge with a blast of wind, then crushes their leader. Nebula then returns to the lake as Takiri tells Edgy they're now free to go wherever they please. I first heard about Howl from Beyond the Fog back in 2019 when the film was being funded, as well as its debut at the Atami Film Festival. It's been too long for me to remember exactly where I first heard about it, likely Sci-Fi Japan, but I do recall the film's unique combination of suitmation and puppetry, along with its striking visual style and strong pedigree, garnering a lot of attention on the sci-fi and monster news site. Now, if you're not familiar with this film, you may be surprised to learn that all the human characters are in fact portrayed by puppets. I know for most Western audiences, when a film stars puppets, they immediately jump to the work of British live-action effects star Gerry Anderson, or the insane parody of that, Team America World Police. Unlike those stylized renditions of humanity, Sato and Murase instead aim for realism with their puppets. The puppetry of Howl from Beyond the Fog is thus not as demonstrative as Anderson, nor as intentionally ridiculous as Team America, instead opting to take a more subtle and altogether more moody approach. Now, that moodiness seeps into the entire film. All of our characters are isolated in some way. Edgy is an outsider, returning to a hometown which he never knew, and to a family with which he has little contact. Takiri is hidden away, presumed dead. Even beyond that, is further isolated due to her blindness and personal history. Even Inami, surrounded by locals who want her to sell her property, is detached from both her fellow villagers as well as her own surviving family. And naturally, the lake god Nebula is seeming the only one of his kind, all alone in this world. These isolated and lonely characters are thus naturally drawn to each other, even if the rest of the world, or at least the world of our film, want to dispose of or remove these characters. I have seen several critics describe Howl from Beyond the Fog as a combination of a monster movie and a Japanese ghost story. And while we do not have any ghosts per se in the film, one can make the logical jump to the fact that Takiri is supposed to be dead, but interacts with Edgy as if she were a spirit. Her tragic story would definitely not be out of place in a Japanese gothic horror, but situated as it is here in a Daikaiju film, makes it a very unsettling turn to the viewer. The use of an almost watercolor-styled animation to show us what Takiri sees further pushes the isolation of her character, again, as if she were a spirit rather than a living human. The use of isolation and loneliness as the thematic drivers of the film are not entirely surprising, given that one of the film's influences is the short story The Foghorn by renowned and beloved American author Ray Bradbury. That story involves a gigantic sea creature who is drawn to the sound of a foghorn, believing it to be the call of one of its own kind. The monster ultimately destroys the foghorn, thinking itself abandoned by its potential partner. The foghorn, of course, was also the inspiration for the Ray Harryhausen film, The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, which is itself a classic monster on the loose film, of albeit a different style than this film. Sato had also adapted, previously, The Foghorn as its own short film, years prior to this as well. Bradbury's story has been interpreted through the years as a mediation on the power of nature over technology, which is also echoed in our film. The villagers use technology in the form of the fireworks and the cannon to try to kill Nebula, but the lake god is not impressed by the technology of man and easily dispatches them with but a simple breath. The arrogance of men being demonstrated through their faith in their weapons only for nature to brush modernity away, is a classic trope of Daikaiju cinema, and fits well here even given the unique era in which the film is set. All of these downbeat moods come together by the end, however, with Nebula back in his lake, and Eiji and Takiri free from the challenges of their past and facing the future together. A story concept which I have come to love as I've gotten older is summed up by the phrase, "Perhaps we can be black sheep together." The outcasts and misfits of the world need companionship and love too, and as you listeners know, I am a sucker for a happy ending. Seeing our heroes together and our monster living in peace will usually leave with a good feeling when the credits roll, and that is the case here. Speaking of our monster, Nebula is a beautifully realized Daikaiju. For an article in G-Fan magazine, the name Nebula is derived from the Latin word nebula for fog, plus it has the benefit of being easy to pronounce. As a large sauropod creature, Nebula reminds me a lot of the giant behemoth, in that we have a Daikaiju based on a herbivorous dinosaur, also similar to the classic Godzilla monster Anguirus in that sense. But I must say that Nebula's strongest suit is the small aspects, which really sell him as the lake god and not just a monster. Sato added specific elements to Nebula's design to give the monster a sense of being an ancient creature, including a mass of vegetation growing on his back. And his roar, inspired of course by the booming of a foghorn, is haunting and supernatural, more akin to the moaning of a spirit from a ghost story than a giant monster's cries, bringing us back to the ghost story theme as well. A combination of suitmation and puppetry, the two technologies are blended together seamlessly for our monster. One would be hard-pressed to look at any given image of Nebula and determine how the shot was accomplished. Nebula's look is perhaps not as exciting as a more traditional Daikaiju, but I think he is one of the most handsome and striking monsters we have seen come out of the genre since Biollante some 30 years earlier. Also rewarding for Daikaiju fans is how many traditional Daikaiju images and scenes are present in the short running time. As Nebula surfaces in the lake, naturally he is preceded by roiling and churning water, like countless other aquatic or amphibious monsters. As Nebula ravages the village, we see houses crumble and civilians flee in terror, as we would expect. And Nebula himself even gets on the action, throwing a massive tail chop to destroy a building. In closing, Hell from Beyond the Fog is a moody, haunting tale. Being a short subject, there's no fat to trim, with energetic direction and striking visuals. Despite being brought to life as puppets, our cast of human characters is as emotive and appealing as any living cast could be. And our monster star, Nebula, is a wonderful creation, exuding age and power at each turn. Every Daikaiju fan owes it to themselves to seek this one out and watch it, and I suspect it will play quite well with non-fans as well. If you would like to watch Howl from Beyond the Fog, the Blu-ray and DVD is available from SRS Cinema, who was the first outfit to release the film here in the West. Now, a couple of items to mention with that. The current Blu-ray offering is a second printing, so while the disc itself is the same, the artwork on the cover is quite different. Now, given how nice the art was for the original release, this is something of a letdown, as the Matt Frank cover is quite nifty, albeit evoking a sort of 1950s USA monster movie vibe rather than turn-of-the-century Japan. The DVD uses the wide-release artwork on its cover, and frankly, this art is just poor. I know. The art on the case is irrelevant, but I cannot help but wonder how many folks simply walked right past this film on a shelf because of the amateurish cover art. The discs are also available on Amazon if you prefer to go that route. And for digital, the film can be watched on Amazon Prime Video for Prime members. It can also be watched on YouTube TV or streamed for free with ads via Tubi. I now throw it to you, the listeners. Have you seen Howl from Beyond the Fog? What did you think of it? Did you like this kind of take on a Daikaiju film in a unique setting with the unique production of having the entire cast be puppets? What did you think about the monster Nebula? I'd love to hear from you. Write me in, earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com, and we can talk about it here on the show. All right, that's about all I've got on Howl from Beyond the Fog. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to close out the show here on Earth Destruction Directive.
There's something like 115,000 English language podcasts in the world, and no doubt hundreds of them are aimed at the comic book genre.
There are sci-fi comic podcasts.
Horror comic podcasts.
War comic podcasts!
But do you know what we need?
You guys crazy enough to combine those fields and make a podcast of their very own?
Yes. It's the answer to a question no one asked, so that's why we are answering it. Such a gaping hole in the podcast landscape must be filled post-haste.
Did you really just use the word post-haste?
The Weird Warriors podcast covers the Weird War Tales comic book series published by DC Comics from 1971 to 1983. Along the way, we'll also check out other horror and war comics published by DC, Marvel, Charlton, and any other targets that may present themselves to us.
I have the war books, and he has the horror books. So if you're ready to take a nice, relaxing look at the hell of war in comic book form from the age of the caveman to the distant future, then report for duty by subscribing to the Weird Warrior Podcast, brought to you by the Brothers Fleen, wherever fine podcasting provisions are issued.
Vampires!
Aliens!
Dinosaurs!
Alien dinosaurs!
There's something for everyone.
General Sherman said war is hell, but do you know what else is?
Weird.
For our purposes, yes. So tune in to the Weird Warrior Podcast today. Do it! That's an order!
Yes, sir!
Don't call me sir, I work for a living.
But we're not getting paid for this.
Dang!
Well, I'm Max.
And I'm Rich.
And we're going to be bringing you the Weird Warriors Podcast, where we will promise to make war
no more.
All right, we are back here on Earth Destruction Directive. I don't have any feedback to go over right now. Unfortunately, with that long break, I've kind of lost some of the momentum on the feedback. But if you would like to send email to the show, you can email us at earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com. You can also, of course, find us on X. Just search for @LJacone, L-J-A-C-O-N-E. That's my personal account. Use the hashtag earthdestructiondirective. You can find us on YouTube. Just search for Earth Destruction Directive. You can get in touch with me. You can check us out on the Two True Freaks Discord. Just go to the Earth Destruction Directive channel and just reach out if you would like to get in touch. Now, we did get social media love and feedback from our previous episode from some great listeners. So we got some likes, some reposts, thumbs ups, all that good stuff from the Henshin Power V3 podcast, Robert Ludwig, the most sane man among us, the Kaiju and Cowboys official page, the Monster Island Film Vault podcast, Kirk Spencer, a.k.a. Big Five Army. We got from Bill at Spy Vinyl, Billy D from Magazines and Monsters, the Two True Freaks podcast network, Frankie B. Washington, who is the artist of Kaiju and Cowboys. Thank you, Frankie. Chuck Rodriguez, those fan holes over at the Fan Hole podcast, Professor Alan Middleton, straight from the quarter bin, and of course, the Relatively Geeky podcast network, John Vanover, Chris Mount, Mr. Lomax, Derek WC, Brian Sever, Brorad, and Gene, the podcasting machine, Hendrix. Thank you so much for all that feedback, folks. I really do appreciate it. I've said it multiple times, and I'll keep saying it. The, you know, spreading the word on social media for your favorite podcast is a very easy way to help get the show out there. These shows are a labor of love. The last few months have definitely brought that into sharp relief for me. Anytime that we're working on this, we're taking time away from doing, you know, our work, being with our family or working on our jobs or working on other things that need to get done. But it's because we love doing it. And if you guys enjoy, you know, a podcast, just give them a share on Facebook, give them a repost on X, give them a thumbs up, give them a comment on YouTube, whatever, just anything to help get the word out there. And as I tell you from this podcaster, it is very much appreciated. I also like to take this opportunity to say that, of course, as always, Earth Destruction Directive is for everyone. We are not a gatekeeping show. We are a show for the people, for the fans. And if you are interested in giant monsters in any capacity, you're welcome to partake here in whatever way you feel comfortable. If you want to just, you know, poke around the Discord or just listen or send an email and say, hey, I just had some questions. I don't want these on the air or anything like that. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. You know, we all started as a new fan at some point. Nobody's born as a fully formed Daikaiju fan, right? We have to go through our larval stages, as you were. So, that's true of any fandom. And, you know, I'd rather be more welcoming than say, well, you don't have enough info, right? Now, I'll say that we have had some bouts with toxicity in the Godzilla fandom. Maybe I'm just filtering it better. I always try to keep my corner of it welcoming. And if you want to be interested in giant monsters and you want to get, ask questions or participate, you are more than welcome to do so. All are welcome at Earth Destruction Directive. So Now, of course, we always must be looking forward, even as we look backwards, because we're always looking backwards, because the movies and shows have already come out that we are covering. But looking forward, what is next in Earth Destruction Directive? Well, this Hell from Beyond the Fog was one of two episodes that I actually had in the works for 2024 that I wanted to get out in 2024. As I'm recording this, it is still 2024. So I got that going on. So the other one, and this one is crucial that I get out because it is the 65th anniversary of the giant Gila monster. Now, I know what you're saying, Luke. This is not a Daikaiju movie. It's got a big lizard in it, but it's an American movie, and that is true. But Giant Gila Monster is a longtime personal favorite of mine. I covered it probably about 5 years ago with my brother over on Bots, Bugs, and Babes. I've watched the Misty countless times. I really enjoy the Giant Gila Monster, and I definitely have had this on the list to talk about an Earth Destruction Directive for quite a while. So you'll have to indulge me that perhaps it doesn't meet the textbook definition of Daikaiju being an American film. Maybe I'll make it a Gaiden, you know. I don't know. I don't want the classification otaku coming after me, right? But in any event, that's what we're going to be taking a look at. If you want to watch Giant Gila Monster, it's in the public domain. You can go pretty much anywhere and find it. YouTube, Internet Archive. I'm sure if you go down to your corner shop, they might have a copy of it lying around if you ask nicely. But, you know, hey, maybe not, you know, depending on where you live, right? But in any event, you can find it online easy. It's in the public domain. It's a quick watch. I think it's like 70-something minutes, right? The Misty is out there too. Again, being a public domain, that's one that seems to get shared a lot. But anyway, that's what we're going to be covering next time, and very much looking forward to that. So I hope everybody enjoyed this episode, taking a look at Howl from Beyond the Fog. I hope everyone will come back next time for a little bit of hot rodders and giant lizards and platter parties for the giant Gila monster. And until then, thanks for listening and keep them stomping.
This has been Earth Destruction Directive, a Daikaiju podcast, produced and created by me, Luke Giaconetti, as part of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, available at twotruefreaks.com. This is a fan work celebrating the history and culture of Japanese giant monsters. All movies, TV shows, comic books, characters, and other intellectual property is copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended or implied. If you would like to send an email to the show, you can email me at earthdestructiondirective@yahoo.com. I try to respond to all emails, and if you send in some comments, I will read them on the show. All episodes of Earth Destruction Directive can be found at twotruefreaks.com. You can also find the show on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Earth Destruction Directive. You can even leave a review on your podcatcher of choice if you'd like. You can find me on Facebook. Just search for first name Luke, last name EDD. You can also get in touch with me on Twitter. Just search for the handle at LJacone. That's LJacone. The theme song for this podcast is Future Gladiator by Kevin MacLeod. Downloaded from Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license. Thanks for listening, and be sure to come back next time for more city-stomping fun here on Earth Destruction Directive. Tune in next time to hear the crusty old podcaster from Oklahoma say,
"There's a WTF moment if I ever saw one."